Welcome to the NSH podcast. As an ongoing series, we will be having short conversations with the 2023 awards and scholarship recipients. In this episode, we will be talking to Beth Cox. She is the recipient of the Helping Hands Scholarship for Histotechnology Outreach and Education. The goal of this scholarship is to support individuals or organizations that want to provide educational opportunities or improvements to underserved institutions or countries. Let's get started. Beth, can we start out? We want to hear a little bit more about yourself and how you got into the field of histology.
Well, I got into histology kind of through the back door. But then again, I think most histotechs out there did. Very few people started out with, this is where I'm going. When I was in high school, I heard about cytotechnologists, and it sounded very noble, and they were going to save the world from cancer and all that. So I decided I wanted to be a cytotechnologist. And then when I graduated high school, started college, the advisor that I had started talking to me about histotechnology. There was a really good histotechnology program in Flint at that time, and it had just started up a couple years earlier. And she was really pushing me to get into that program. So off I went in the direction she pushed, and took my histology internship, and it really ignited a passion for me in that. And so I graduated, took my my registry exam, and then I promptly went out and took a cytotechnology internship on top of it. And I had both a histo background and a cyto background. That's served me really well in my career. The combination is good, and there's enough of a overlap with all the preparation, fixation, staining, all those kinds of things to really make them a good pair for me.
As the recipient of the 2023 Helping Hand Award, you are planning to use the scholarship money as part of the work being done by Canvasback Missions. For those not familiar with Canvasback Missions, it brings health and wellness to the Pacific Islands through free and otherwise unavailable healthcare, diabetes intervention, and long-term wellness programs. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you first got involved with Canvasback Missions?
Canvasback Missions has a really interesting history. It started out a couple decades ago with a couple who traveled the Pacific Islands on a catamaran sailboat, thus the name Canvasback. There was essentially no health care for the people of the islands available. The wife of the couple was a nurse, so she and her husband started providing what care they could when they'd visit each of these islands on their sailboat. Well, those efforts grew, and nowadays the couple organizes volunteer teams of specialists that go to the islands to provide the care that the island people would never get otherwise. I was part of a gynecology team. There was an orthopedic team there a couple months before we went. Other specialty teams are in the planning process. I actually got involved with Canvasback through the NSH. The pathologist that was joining the gynecology team wanted to have their specimens processed and the reports available for the trip, and of course needed a histotech. So she wrote to the NSH office, and her request was posted on the NSH blog. And that's where I saw her request, and I thought, well, that seemed right up my alley because I've done other medical mission work. And so I emailed her back. We talked, we worked out the details, and the next thing I knew, I was on the team.
Great. Yeah, that's definitely a great example of networking and what an NSH membership can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that in 2024, you are planning to go to the Marshall Islands. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you will use the scholarship money to help reduce gynecologic cancer in the Pacific Islands?
Well, 2023 was the first year they are having the specimens and processed and diagnosed on site. So that really helped the gyn docs and the surgeons on our team handle things and treat the patients in a timely manner. Because we diagnosed the biopsies right there, we were able to get the patients in for their necessary surgeries within a day or two. We found a large number of patients who had very high-grade lesions who would have otherwise not had any treatment and would likely have died of their cancers. So we felt this was the tip of the iceberg, and we felt like we've got to do more. So a trip back to the islands is being planned for the spring of 2024, and we're looking at how we can serve more ladies. The basic large equipment for the histology that was taken to Majuro was all donated by the pathologist, but there's still a lot more things that we need. I only had one staining rack for the whole 2 weeks, which means I could only cut and dry and stain one rack's worth of slides at a time. So I need more staining racks. We need some 20 slide folders for the slides. I need some staining dishes. I need more embedding molds. I only had 12 embedding molds. So we need a lot of things like that. Plus, we're going to need the consumables, slides, cover slips, stain, reagents. And I desperately need a real slide drying oven. Using only a fan was really suboptimal. Basically, the faster and more efficiently I can turn around the biopsies for diagnosis, the more patients we can serve and the more ladies will get the life-saving surgeries that they need.
It definitely sounds like there's a lot of equipment needed, and the scholarship money will be put to great use in helping a lot of women with their healthcare. Definitely a great mission for sure. You mentioned that you've served on several medical missions. Do you have any favorite stories that you would like to share from past trips?
Well, I think one of the most challenging, and I'll admit it, fun parts of this past trip was finding a way to get the job done no matter what. The first 3 days that I was there, the tissue processor didn't work. I had to process things manually. That meant putting the cassettes in a quart jar, taking it back to my hotel room at night, and setting an alarm every hour to get up and change the reagents and explaining to my roommate, who was an ultrasound tech, what I was doing. Thank goodness I was able to repair the processor for day 4. The embedding center that had been donated couldn't be found, and I embedded for the first week using an alcohol lamp and a specimen cup of paraffin sitting on a mug warmer. On Friday afternoon of the first week, the maintenance guy came in with his phone with a picture and said, "Is this what you're looking for?" They found the embedding center on the top shelf in the tool shed, the maintenance tool shed. Nobody had any idea how it got there. But for me, I felt like I'd traveled halfway across the world to do this job and nothing was going to stop me. I was going to make it work no matter what.
Well, we're so glad that they finally found the embedding machine. I'm sure that made your life a lot easier, but these trips, I'm sure, have lasting memories for you. So again, it's just such a worthy cause. What advice do you have for histotechs who are listening and want to use their skills to help those with medical care in underserved countries?
There are so many needs and so many ways of helping. You can help by traveling to these locations to do the work, but you can also help from your home lab. David Davies works setting up labs with groups in Africa. You could contact him and discuss what needs there are there and how you can participate. Jean Mitchell also does international lab setup and training. Contact her. I work in Central America as well as the Marshall Islands. I'm in need of a tech who would process and cut about 10 to 12 biopsies in their home lab a couple times a year. If that's you, contact me. I want to talk to you.
Well, hopefully we can recruit some volunteers for you. Is there anything else that you would like to share just about your trip to the Marshall Islands coming up or the scholarship itself?
I would just like to say that doing these kinds of trips really puts me back in touch of why I love being a histotech. I feel like a true part of the team again. Let's face it, at home, you don't know who your patient is. It's just a name. In Majuro, the nurse practitioner says to me, "Oh, she was the one in the bright red skirt, and I know exactly who it is." At home, the histotech is hidden somewhere in the back of the lab, and nobody even knows they exist. In Majuro, the doctor and the surgeon are talking about how to proceed with the surgery for someone, and I'm part of the discussion. So it puts me back in touch with why we do what we do. So while I'm helping all these others and giving the care that they need, I'm also getting a booster dose of enthusiasm about the profession that I'm in.
Well, Beth, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate all the information that you've given us about how you will be using these NSH scholarship funds. And we can't wait to hear more about the great work you're going to be doing in 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and don't forget to check out some of our other award and scholarship podcasts.